Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the latest edition of the Broad Street Line. We're glad to be back here with you this week for another 2 hours on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I am Roy Burton, and alongside me, as always, my tag team partner, one Chris Domingo. Mr. Domingo, how are you doing this fine evening, sir?
Roy, I'm doing tremendous, tremendous. Nice spring day to talk whatever the hell we're going to talk about.
It's a beautiful day here in the city of Philadelphia, and it's a beautiful day to talk sports here in the city of Philadelphia, because plenty of stuff to talk about, plenty of stuff on the sports docket this week.
T minus nine
days until D-Day, until Armageddon, or maybe Q-Day, quarterback day here in Philadelphia for the Eagles, who may or may not move up from eight, and whether or not they say it, may or may not draft a quarterback with their first round pick. We will discuss that in great detail, and we will discuss that especially in the second hour of the show. Joining us at 7:30, about 90 minutes in, the great Jimmy Kemsky, Eagles beat writer, phillyvoice.com, is scheduled to join us on the show live to talk about all things Eagles. So you want to keep a lock here for that. But plenty of other stuff to talk about as well concerning the Eagles, because this is the annual exercise that we do that is the biggest waste of time in our 52-week calendar of the Broad Street Line. But it's a week I look forward to every single year. And that's the show after the schedule comes out.
And I might say this might be the first year where my prognostication might not be slanted towards the professional football team.
We're not going overly positive this year?
No.
The first glance at the schedule won't be Peter King-esque, is what you're telling me?
We don't know if they're going to have any more bullets. They need bullets right now.
Well, we never knew that before, and that never stopped you from going double digits before. Are we not go? I don't want a number right now, because we're gonna do it in like 5 minutes. But the way too early Eagles 2016 predictions on deck.
Once again, this just shows the level of infatuation, which is strange and kind of pathetic.
Insane, pathetic
of America.
Yeah, America, me.
The only thing I can say that is positive, of value of it. Where are we going?
The trips. It's really all about the trips.
Your Green Legions. The Jacksonville Jaguars versus Green Legion. They probably don't even have one.
They probably don't have one.
But Steeler Nation probably. Like
Steeler Nation. Where's Steeler Nation going? Where Cowboy Country going? You know, where's Browns?
Because that's the thing. Like, isn't that one of the more cooler things about following a professional? He's like, hey, let's go make a vacation out of it. Because people love vacations.
People love vacations. And when you can combine a vacation along with sports, that's like the ultimate vacation.
And probably an excuse to like hang out with your boys, because you'll probably say, it's an all guys trip. I know you're a big fan of Najee Broham, but like we can watch a home game.
It's like, yo, me and my boys, like he married, I'm married, he got kids, he work all the time. We can all get together.
It's like William H. Macy and Martin Lawrence getting together.
Yes. This is Road Dogs. We all get together. We're going to Cincinnati in December, all right? We're going into Cincinnati. This is a guy's thing. Let me get my hall pass on the out.
Yes. Okay? No, and like, I guarantee you, a contingent of all these people were probably married dudes and be like, yo, I'm a good dad. I need a week off.
You got weekend down the shore with the girls.
Yeah, Kate May or whatever the hell you want to do. This is me.
I want to go see my boys in Detroit with my boys, with my wolves, okay? Going with my wolves. So that's part
it
of the
It really life. Is amazing how a bonding thing football is.
It really is.
I mean not just football, but every Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to be that person that has people over, I prefer not to. But if that's your thing, you get your boys over, you order some pizza, get some beer,
get some wings, get the party tray out.
It's like one day of letting your mind just empty out.
Yeah.
Because isn't that what people need? You need to re-energize your batteries.
You got to recharge your batteries, and that's why football is going to be the number one sport in this country for quite some time. Because those 16 Sundays plus the playoffs are special. They're special occasions. Every Sunday.
Not about what about AJ Tarpley, man?
You have what about? See, don't get me off. Don't get me off track. These Sundays are special occasions, okay? These are very special occasions. And it's never – like, basketball's not the same.
No!
Baseball's not the same.
How hype?
Hockey's not the same.
How hype do you get for that first full weekend?
Oh, the first full weekend, it's a little – you know what? I'm going to be honest, not to go on a tangent. It's a little less hype for me because the Thursday thing kind of, like, takes a little bit off the edge, off the hype. Because you get a bomb game that Thursday every single year. So, like, you ain't jumping off Sunday 1 o'clock 10 games. Like, thank you,
remember,
Lord.
Remember, two words, red zone.
On a red zone, first Sunday red zone is awesome. It's the greatest thing ever. But, like, you already got a little taste of football on Thursday. You got a little taste. You got a little Johnny Manziel taste on the kitchen table.
Yeah, because you already know, like, the first game of the season will be really good because it'll be a rematch.
Right. You'll see the team that was in the Super Bowl. At the very least, you'll get one really good team that just won the Super Bowl versus probably another really good team, whether it's a rematch or not.
Even though you'll probably get Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, but this year's a little bit edge off of that. But we will talk about that as well. And, of course, Chris Domingo's favorite sport, the NHL, is in the news, and our favorite hockey team is in the news as
shockingly,
well.
For all the wrong reasons.
So Chris Domingo, in the 5 minutes that he dedicates to hockey in the 2015-2016 season, will eviscerate the 100 Flyers fans who threw bracelets on the ice last night. So you definitely want to keep a lot for that.
Once again, no, it's just in a nutshell, this is so Philly. I'm sorry. Like, I mean, dudes drunk off Bud Light or whatever the hell they want to drink. They basically, like, are just protesting the fact that the Flyers got destroyed.
Yes.
I mean, and let's just say this was probably alcohol fueled.
Sure was.
Because you probably, if people are mad sober, they just stay mad.
They stay mad.
But if you're kind of buzzed and or drunk and or wasted and you are angry, shit, stuff just comes out.
Things happen, man. Things just happen. So we'll discuss that as well. So, as you can see, plenty of stuff to talk about this week on the Broad Street Line. So sit back, relax, and take a ride on the Broad Street Line because the future of Sports Talk Radio has finally arrived. Any shout-outs you'd like to get to, sir?
No, let's get to the usual thank yous to the fine people that make this show happen.
Thank you to everybody out there who listens and supports our show, who continue to listen and support our show. We're available on Stitcher. We're available on iTunes. We're available on all sorts of devices and all sorts of platforms. We are now available in the Google Play Store. So if you go to the Google Play Store, search for podcasts, and search for the Broad Street Line, on your Android device, you can subscribe to us and get each and every episode downloaded directly to your phone, tablet, whatever device, computer, whatever device you use to listen to our show. So Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, we are very, very accessible. Thank you, everybody out there, for your support in making that happen. Also, shout out to our friends over at the War Room Sports Podcast Network. You can listen to the flagship show of that network, War Room Sports, each and every Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern, here on a Blog Talk Radio. You can listen to them as well as us on the War Room Sports Podcast Network, WRSPN.com. We're also available on the Audman Media Network as well, www.theaudman.com. And before we get into it, special shout-out to our friends over at VeteransShirtium.com. That's VeteransShirtium, S-H-I-R-T-I-U-M.com, for the absolute, absolute best in Philadelphia sports apparel. Promo code BSLINE will get you 10% off of your entire order. So no matter whether you order T-shirts or koozies or pins or hats, whatever have you, all Philly-themed, 10% off of your order with promo code BSLINE. So check it out today and every day. VeteransShirtium.com and on Twitter at VetShirtium and Facebook, facebook.com/VeteransShirtium for the absolute best in Philadelphia sports gear. All right, sir, it's time for the six pack, the weekly six pack. Are you ready?
Yes.
Question number one if everything goes right with the Eagles, and we'll do the game-by-game breakdown as we always do, but let's say in a perfect world, everything goes right with the Eagles, and whatever your definition of that is, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
If everything goes right with the Eagles, they can finish with a record of what?
9-7.
If everything goes right,
yes.
9-7. Okay. All right. So, and we'll do the predictions later on, but yep. 9-7, if all goes right. Question number two. A lot of reports out there about a certain linebacker slash running back slash whatever from UCLA having questionable issues, questionable medical reports with his knee. Of course, that's Miles Jack. It's looking like Miles Jack may be on the board at 8. Chris Domingo, if the quarterbacks are going, Ronnie Stanley's going, if Ezekiel Elliott is going, you take Miles Jack at 8.
And you're saying they haven't traded for a quarterback?
No.
They haven't moved up to 2.
They're at 8. Quarterback's going, Zeke going, Ronnie Stanley going. Do you take Miles Jack at number 8?
No.
You don't? Still don't do it?
No.
Okay. All
I'm
right.
Trading down.
Question number 3. Rams gave up a boatload, which we'll discuss, for the number 1 pick. Did they overpay to get to number 1?
You're asking me because I don't – like, it's a – I don't say it's a loaded, but it's – there's layers to the question.
Okay.
If I thought – No, if overpaying for a guy you think is a franchise quarterback, you can never do that. There's no such
thing. Never.
Never.
Okay.
But if, for me, if I think a guy isn't a franchise quarterback, then yes, they overpay.
All right. So you're saying if whatever quarterback they take was a franchise guy in your eyes, you just said that's cool because
yeah.
It doesn't matter. However, considering the talent at one in this year's draft, it's probably a bit too much.
For me, Roy, I need the best quarterback. I, you know what? For me, I don't know if this is – I need my quarterback,
yep.
like the best quarterback, to be one of the 3 or 4 best players in the draft. Like,
okay.
If you rate these guys, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff might be, like, the 12th, 13th best player.
Really?
Yeah.
You got him that low?
Oh, no. I saw Scout Inc. Like,
okay.
And they were, like, 8, 9, 9,
okay.
10.
All right.
That means – no. I mean – And of course, people, it's the narrative. You need a franchise quarterback. Don't crap.
Everybody needs a franchise quarterback. 32 teams need one.
But for me, these, and I'm not even a draft expert, but I just see these guys and I'm like, it's a prisoner of the moment. Like, we are infatuated with these guys because they're the top rated quarterbacks.
Yo.
And they're going to, and you know what? If I'm the Rams, I don't blame them for doing that move. Once again, this is the difference between the Rams and a team like the Sixers. Like, I mean, optics. Optics.
God, what are you talking about?
They saw, I mean, they need to make a splash. They're going to L.A. They need a franchise. They haven't had a quarterback in forever.
Mm-hmm.
They think this is the guy. Go shoot for the moon.
All right. That's fair. I understand that. Question number 4. NBA will allow logos on jerseys in 2017. Good idea, bad idea?
Good idea.
Okay. I don't mind those.
Anything to raise the salary cap.
Which is going to be extraordinary this year, and even more extraordinary next season.
Does it affect the ethical dilemma? Well, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Same with soccer.
Yeah. No, I really don't think so. I don't think it matters that much. All right. Question number 5. And I know where you're going to go with this. And we'll talk more at length about this later. More impressive, Steph Curry's 402 threes this season or Kobe's 60 in his final game?
This is a dope question, right?
This is an actual question. More impressive, Kobe at 37 dropping 60 or Steph Curry's 402
threes? How many times did he shoot?
The question. This is a simple question.
No, Steph Curry. I mean... But this just shows you how much of a selfish POS scumbag Kobe Bryant. I mean,
oh boy,
when has Kobe Bryant not been about himself? Can you count the times on your hand?
If you're not about yourself, who's gonna be about you? Who's your biggest? Who else gonna be your biggest fan?
He is such a piece of
garbage.
He is. He's such a creep. I mean, I can't even
get
hide
it, Kobe.
He really.
Get it.
I mean, have you ever seen an elite athlete like this? I've never seen it.
To this level, I mean, he's a unique breed, man. Like, not even – I mean, this is a unique dude.
Yeah, no, he's like could you ever see him if he was like he needs, I've been saying this for a day. He needs to play the game on his terms, which means he needs to be the king. He needs to be the best player. He needs the guy that shines the most. He would never be a guy that would in a game seven dish 15 for like have 15 assists.
No. But I get it. He's a killer. He's got that killer mentality.
But
he wants to be the guy. I respect that.
Oh, I don't. I think he is like, but you know what? This in a nutshell, why he is not a beloved, like outside of LA. Like, I mean,
yeah.
He's not a beloved person. And you know what? He's a creep. I mean, like inside and outside.
Good Lord.
No, I hate, no, I, you know what?
Oh man.
I hate Kobe Bryant.
Wow.
I do.
Wow.
I don't think I've ever like hated, like he is like, don't you need to be like, he has never been a team player ever.
No, never, ever.
It's just like, I mean, you're playing it. That's the thing. If you were a tennis player, I could get it. Jordan was never this selfish.
No, not even, no, no. Mm-mm. Nope.
But this is why it shows where Kobe's cool with not having 8 championships, because he wouldn't have been the lead dog.
Exactly.
Like, he needs to be. No, I mean, like, that, like that's why he even says he regrets. But I don't think he regrets it at all.
I don't know if he. Well, maybe he does, only because if you get past 6. If you get past that number, then maybe people start to think of you differently. Like if he, I don't want to say, you know, was submitted to, but if he was the B dog or the beta dog to Shaq's alpha for, let's say, 2 more years, and you got a couple more titles like with Shaq, and then you got 2 more, you know, later on, you know, as the alpha dog. When you have 7, in Kobe's mind, he probably says, "Yo, I'm on that MJ level."
He is such a prick. I mean, like you've never seen him modest. You've never seen him like
not legitimately modest. No, I mean he might fake it for a second or
that's
two.
That's the thing. He just really is just an elitist.
Yeah, he's dumb. He's an elitist. Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, I don't think there's ever been anybody but like Kobe, like in basketball anyway.
I don't think it's sports.
I mean, there've been jerky baseball players. Like Barry Bonds wasn't the greatest dude ever.
I think
I think he might be more than Barry, more elite than Barry Bonds. Yeah, I got him.
Like, if you ask 1,000 people who you think is more beloved, I think Barry Bonds might win 29 to 24.
I mean, it's really close. It's really close.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. Oh my God.
All right, we'll save the Kobe stuff for later because we'll talk about that. Atlanta more. Final question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how bad did the city of Philadelphia look last night with the fans throwing the bracelets on the ice when the Flyers were getting run out of their own building? 1 to 10. 10 being bad. Like terrible bad.
No, well terrible would be for me if a city never did it before. They'd be like, wow.
Yeah, 10 is like the malice at the palace.
Yeah, yeah, because that was on. That's the thing. How can you look bad if you already look like scum anyway? I mean, I'd say a 7.
You think it was that bad?
Yeah. I don't think it was that bad.
That was bad.
No, one.
You should never throw stuff in the ice. No. Don't ever do it. Don't ever do it.
I think the timing, the Ed Snyder thing.
Yeah, the Ed Snyder thing makes it look bad. Like, that makes it look bad.
You don't do that. But of course, the
you know what? All right, I got you.
The suburban redneck scum that have replied be like, oh, man, they pay good money. Don't pay money.
You don't pay money to throw stuff on ice. Like what? No.
Oh, sorry. You didn't get a good product. Whoop-de-damn-do.
Yeah, that's
deal with it.
That's what you deal with when you purchase a ticket. That is your contract with the team. They're not obligated to give you wins.
It's like if you got a bad meal.
Yeah.
Are you throwing your plate?
Yeah. No. You enter that contract with the Flyers. They provided you with a service. That service was poor. That doesn't mean you say, you know what, let me just throw
yeah,
something
yeah, out. Let's change the topic because I might get hate mail if I like start
yeah,
like
yeah,
I don't
probably
know. Because
will.
Like this is just indicative of the low intellect.
Hill,
schmuck,
oh boy, here we go.
Schmuck idiots that follow hockey. That's all I'll say.
Jeez, you were fired up.
No, it's just why? I mean, this team, like, I can understand if you're the one seed. And I'm not even rationalizing it, but like, say they were the 2 seed and they were down 2-0 and you were at home,
uh-huh.
or like, Come on, do it then.
Well, look, I'm not gonna knock hockey fans or low end whatever. I'm not hockey fans. I'm saying, you can't defend this. This is all I'm gonna say. This is indefensible.
I rip Sixers fans as much, and you know I love ripping Sixers fans.
I don't care what team you're a fan of. I don't care how good your team is. I don't care what sport it is. You can't defend people throwing things on the court, or the field, or the ice, or whatever. You just can't do it.
And if you do, you're a low intellect schmuck.
Oh man, you fired up today, man. Let's switch gears to something that
I'm
makes you happy.
You, Kobe Bryant. Well, he's replaced my process because I can't even get excited about that anymore. But like, I was trying to think. I was like, this dude needed to do this because, frankly, how pathetic is it that a team with Kobe Bryant barely beat a non-playoff team with him scoring 60 points?
The Jazz were right on the doorstep of the playoffs, man. 40-42. They were knocking on the door, man. Knocking on the door of the playoffs in the West.
I think, because Jason Lockline wrote, he's like, this guy was one of the most fraudulent superstars of this era.
I'm not going to sit here and defend Jason Whitlock and keep up for Jason Whitlock column. I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing that. We're not doing that. Let's talk about something we both enjoy. And that's the 2016 Philadelphia Eagles schedule, which was released. I think it was a 43,000 iteration of the schedule because the NFL has computers that spit out insane schedules around Beyonce concerts and Bruce Springsteen concerts and all sorts of good things that happen in the fall.
Yeah, because that algorithm must be crazy.
Crazy. Insane. We finally got the schedule. It is out over the next month or two. You'll be able to buy tickets for the schedule. And the thing is, we already knew who the Eagles were playing. We knew who every team was playing. We knew where they were playing, and we just didn't know when. Now we know when, and now we know that the Philadelphia Eagles have 4 primetime games this year. A terrible franchise with a terrible head coach and a terrible quarterback going to be on primetime 4 times this year. This is pretty impressive.
I mean, the Eagles, for as long as we've been alive, have been a semi-sexy to sexy team.
Absolutely. Which is weird. I mean, that's been a long time.
That's the thing. Shouldn't we, like, I always say, I know we haven't won squat in a long time, but can't we take solace that we're not the Lions?
No. Or the Lions? Okay, yeah, sure.
We're not
the Lions.
The Falcons.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah, we cannot. Yeah, we're not the Lions. We're not the Falcons.
But it's like, I mean, like, this is, I'm not going to get those, but people see, oh, I want a championship. It's like, winning a championship is damn near impossible.
No, it shouldn't be impossible in 55 damn years. All right. In 55 years, we should have one. One. Is that unreasonable?
No.
That's all people are saying. Reasonable. It's reasonable to expect one title in 55 years. That's all we're saying. Maybe it happens this year because I think you and I agree the Eagles are going to get out of the gate with a bang. Week 1, home, Cleveland Browns, September 11th, CBS. Burr's already favored by 7.5 over Robert Griffin III and the Cleveland Browns. Are you going W on this one?
Yes.
I need a pen. We gotta write this down. We have to save this for perpetuity. Eagles 2016 schedule. Wherever pen is. Maybe I'll do it in I got a pen here. Eagles, Browns, W in the books for that game. Now, week number 2, as we talked about at the top of the show, week number 2 is a prime travel week for those of you who are into traveling with the woes. Week 2, Monday Night Football in Chicago versus the Bears, Soldier Field, September 19th.
You got to be on StubHub for that one because there's no way you're getting single tickets for that.
Now, is it hard to get Bears tickets like that? All right, because I mean, like, I have no because I know Eagles tickets are darn near impossible. I know certain other
cities. No, but
that's
the thing. Like, Bears fans, like, I mean, they're loyal as hell, man. And one, that's like their sport in Chicago. Like, it's our sport. Like, I mean, like, it's football.
Well, they got the Cubbies.
But still, the Bears still rule that.
Bears
town.
Still,
yeah.
Still Bears town.
Yeah.
Eagles, Bears at Chicago, week 2. What do you got?
That's a loss.
The depleted Bears beat the Eagles.
I think they'll be better.
The Bills will be better?
The Bears will be better.
What weapon? Where are their weapons?
I just think John Fox is a pretty good coach.
Okay.
And the Eagles aren't that good.
Oh, look at April 19th, first declaration from Chris Domingo. The Eagles are not that good. Week 3, back at home at the Link, Pittsburgh Steelers, Sunday afternoon game, CBS. What do you got?
How annoying are the Steelers fans that are going to come into town?
Steelers Nation.
That's a loss.
1-2 out of the gates for the Doug Peterson Philadelphia Eagles?
Yes.
Actually, let me go back. I think they win the Bears game. I should have said mine. I think they win,
So according to you, they're going to be 2-1 for me, 1-2.
Yeah, I think they win the Bears game. They lose the Steelers game. So you have 1-2. I have 2-1. Eagles early bye this year, week 4 bye, which is terrible. You never want early bye. It's just
last year was too late, though.
Last year was like week 9. It was like perfect.
Yeah.
It was right in the middle. Like, I want the middle bye. So, like, when Michael Kendricks gets hurt, like, he's going to be – like, he's going to have that extra week in the middle of the season. He might not even be hurt by week 3. He'll be hurt by week 6. But maybe not by week 3. Week 5, at Detroit, off the bye, Eagles head to the Midwest. So, what do you got?
That's a win. The Lions suck.
Lions are terrible. I have that as a win as well. I'm picking too many wins early. 3-1 for the Eagles. You have them at 2-2. The next week at Washington, you like that. Kirk Cousins. What do you got?
That's a loss.
Loss at Washington. I agree on that. I think that's a loss. This is a bad spot for the Eagles against the Redskins. Next week, they come home and play the Vikings here. What do you got?
Loss.
Loss to the Vikings on the road. Next, explain the logic.
You mean you lost at home?
I'm sorry, at home. Explain the logic by the Vikings coming in.
They're better than the Eagles.
On the road, though.
Yes.
So Teddy Bridgewater and Adrian Peterson and whoever else.
I don't even know who they have a running back right now. I'm down on the Eagles right now.
I can't pick another win. That's too many wins. You know, they win the game. They win the game.
So you have them
4-2.
I have them at 2-4.
4-2. This is backward day. This is bizarro day. 4-2 heading into a huge week 8 matchup at Dallas. Sunday night football, the day before Halloween. Who you got?
2-5.
Yeah, I don't think they win that game. I don't think there's any chance they win that game. They can't go to Dallas to win.
So they're 4-3 for you, 2-5.
2-5 out of the gate at the Giants the next week.
I think they pull an upset there.
All right, so you get the dub in New York. I got a loss because the Chris Domingo, the other team is better theory. I'm going to go with that. Home against the Falcons.
Win. So I think I'm at 4-5.
You are at 4-5. See, they got to win this game because they're going to lose their next two. So I'm going to give them a dub here just because I feel good about them. At Seattle, I mean, we can talk about it if you want to, but I don't think there's any chance in the world they win that game.
No.
No. So at Seattle is a loss. Home the next week, Monday Night Football, Aaron Rodgers under the lights. This is a Green Bay. I imagine you're
Yeah.
Green Bay. There's so many L's for Doug in his first year.
So I have him at 4-7.
You're 4-7, 5-6. I got to find some more L's in here. At Cincinnati in December. Early December game.
You know what? I don't think Cincinnati will be that good this year. So I think they'll actually – I think this is the rallying cry.
So they get the dub in Cincinnati? I think they take a loss. I think they lose. I don't even spot at all.
So I think we're at the same now.
Yeah, we both are at
5-7.
Good Lord, man, this is gonna be a bad season. Man.
It is.
When do the Sixers? All right, so the Sixers start in that Atlanta game. All right, good. Home against the Redskins, week 14.
Win.
It's a win there. I think that's a win as well. At Baltimore, week 15.
I think they win that.
You think they beat the Baltimore Ravens? I think they win that. I think it probably.
So we're even. We're at 6-7.
We are at 6-7, heading into two home games that will decide the division for teams not named the Eagles. The New York Giants. No, we're 7-7, right? Yeah, the New York Giants home Thursday Night Football.
They'll lose that game.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And then finally, the Dallas Cowboys here, January 1st, Mummer strutting down Broad Street. All the way down to the link.
I think they'll ruin the Cowboys season. I think they win.
You think they pull out a dub?
Yeah.
Ruin the Cowboys season.
I think we're at 8-8?
You are at 8-8. I have to decide about this. I can't see them winning. They can't win 4 in a row. So they can't beat the Giants. So they beat the Cowboys. Sorry. We're 8-8. All right, so we're 8-8.
Yeah.
We're 8-8.
I mean, if you deduce this right now, and I'm telling you, if they get Ezekiel Elliott, I think my opinion changes.
So 8-8, just the way they are right now.
With Ryan effing Matthews as a running back.
But if everything goes right, actually, if everything goes right, you said they go 9-7.
But I don't think everything does go right.
So I'm saying, but if everything goes right, they win one more game?
Two.
All right, so 10-6.
Yeah.
Like, if Sam Bradford goes out and starts slinging it, look at, like, Joe Flacco, all right? If Ryan Matthews stays healthy for 14, for 14 games. If you,
what's more likely than this happening? All this or Joel Embiid playing 60 games?
I knew this was going to come back to Joel Embiid. The answer is Joel Embiid. If you get anything worth a damn out of Josh Huff.
Nelson Aguilar.
Chris Givens. Reuben Randle. Whoever else.
I got to admit, Roy, my spirit has been broken because they're going to do something that's going to not – for them, they're going to take two steps back in this draft to take, in their opinion, taking five steps forward.
And taking two steps back in this draft is what?
Drafting a guy that's not going to play this year.
All right, so either a quarterback or I imagine you're talking about one of the tackles?
Oh, no. If they get – like, I really, really believe – at this point, I think they're going to trade up for a quarterback.
You think it's going to happen?
60%.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I mean, when you're this deep into it, because they're balls deep.
All the way in. All in. Tom Coughlin, all the chips in the center of the table.
How can you pull out right now?
I mean, it's hard, man. It's hard to pull out.
I mean, for them to feel like they've already – They're trading up. They're trying to attempt to trade up for every pick at this point. You can't get one? Okay. Gonna get two? No. Can we try to get three? I mean, they've already made the determination, and I don't know why the hell they didn't make it before they signed Sam Bradford, that, you know what, hell or high water, we're gonna get a quarterback. I don't know, but I don't know when this happened.
Did it happen
at that meeting at the Fuddruckers with Carson Wentz?
Yeah, like did this happen before? Like, did they know that we gotta get a quarterback before they signed Sam Bradford, before they signed Chase Daniel? We don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe they signed those guys like, you know.
But what? Roy, you'd agree that they've made that determination.
I absolutely.
This ain't smoke screens.
No. Like, there's a lot of smoke. Okay, there's a lot of smoke.
This is like East 1999 Turtle right now.
Yeah. This is Cheech and Chong's backyard. This is East 1999 Turtle.
Can you remember a team that was this quarterback crazy? Chip wasn't even this bad last year, no. And he was going after his own player.
His dude, like, he was driving in. He was in the development, looking at his dude. He's like, nah.
No, because right now the thing is the GM. Like, both of the guys are in cohesion right now. Yeah. They both want the quarterback. It's not like because I think honestly, I think Chip was probably going to like Jeff Lurie and was like, yo, can I do this? And Chip's like, are you crazy?
Right.
And I think now. I think Jeff's saying, well, because one, his lackey, oh, sorry, his protege is there. So I think they have all the wherewithal to do this at this point.
Yeah, as Chris alluded to earlier, the Eagles, they pushed the Titans hard to try to acquire the number one pick. As we said before, the Rams actually got that, but they are apparently in the mix for the number two pick and number three picks as well, according to reports. All signs point to them drafting the quarterback, which means if it happens, I don't think anything happens with number three until draft day. You can't trade for three now.
Oh, no. And you know what? Actually, at this point, we got to hope that Shashi Khan or Shashi Brown, whatever the hell his name is, and like Paul D. Podesta and Hugh Jackson really, 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 really believe in RG3. Or no. I'm torn. It's like if this were Ozzie, if say we had a guy with a track record, like a John Schneider or an Ozzie Newsome. If Ozzie Newsome wanted to trade up for a quarterback, I'd be like, you know what? He knows more than me, and his track record's pretty good.
Okay.
It's not him. It's Howie freaking Roseman.
So your Howie Roseman bias doesn't allow you to just have full faith and confidence in the Eagles.
Absolutely.
That's not because we've seen what Howie Roseman has done. He's had the control,
and this is a franchise altering move. Either way,
this is huge.
They're like, there's no middle. I mean,
you gotta hit this. You have to hit.
This is like if Sam Hinkie were to like get Giannis.
Why do you always take it back to the Sixers? You always try to get your shots in on the Sixers. Peter King says he doesn't give a damn of what happens in this draft. Because if everything goes right, if Sam Bradford balls out, 12 wins this year for the Eagles. 12.
Because once again, people are overrating the Cowboys. I don't think the Cowboys are any good at all. I think at this point, I think the Giants are the best team.
I think the Cowboys are good. Well,
they don't have a defense. They don't have defensive ends right now.
Yeah. All right. Let's say they draft Joey Bosa. Does that change much on the Cowboys?
Once again, they got two guys coming off major injuries. Yeah. You got Scandrick coming off an ACL. Romo, who can't stay healthy.
And Sean Lee.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, but of course the Cowboys, because they got Dez. Who's their number two receiver? Terrence Williams?
Probably Terrence Williams.
Who's the running back?
Isn't McFadden still there? You got McFadden straight?
Their running back situation is almost as bad as the Eagles.
Might be worse.
But of course they get the whole their offensive line's so great that what happened to that offensive line last year?
Well, yeah, true, because it didn't work for a guilty Gucci Black.
I mean, this is why people like on paper, and that's all we can. I think the Giants are the best team. I don't think it's not close. I don't think it's vast. I think it's noticeable.
Who's two?
Cowboys.
The Cowboys are two.
But
so all the talk about the Cowboys, they're better than the Eagles.
Oh, yeah, but the Eagles are going to be in last place.
So the Cowboys have no defensive players, but they're still better than the Eagles, who have a decent, pretty decent both sides of the ball.
But they don't have a quarterback.
All right, so.
That's where, for me anyway, I'm ready. As long as the quarterbacks don't change, we are still going to be the team with the worst quarterback in the division.
Your biggest problem with Sam Bradford is what?
He's inconsistent. He's now in a new offense again. There's no continuity with, he's really cursed. He can't stay in the same system for not even his own.
Not his fault.
And it's like he's dealing with another offense. I know he's dealt with this offense in St. Louis, but it's like, it seems like the guy can't catch a break. And now the regime's planning already for him that when he's gone. That kind of sucks for him.
Yeah, it's kind of a bad spot.
It is a bad spot. Now, of course, I know he's getting paid $8, but wouldn't you, if you're Sam Bradford, wouldn't you want Ezekiel Elliott?
With
a revamped offensive line.
You got rid of his best friend.
That's the thing. Ezekiel Elliott is such a plug-and-play guy. He makes the entire team better. Defense is on the field less. You don't need Bradford to carry the load because you don't want Sam Bradford carrying the load.
No.
If you don't have Ezekiel Elliott, Sam Bradford's carrying the load. You don't want him carrying the load.
Speaking of Ezekiel Elliott, Elliott said that the team showing the most interest in him so far is the Philadelphia Football Eagles. And Doug Peterson, when asked about Ezekiel Elliott, said, quote, a difference maker, a three-down back. And you're right. You take a running back like Ezekiel Elliott, you put him right in the offense, he'll probably get you 1,100 yards next year. Easy.
Yes.
Easy.
Rushing.
Plus another 300 or 400 out of the backfield. You need that.
But I guess – but that's the NFL is like – it's tough to rebuild the NFL because there's such parity.
Right.
You see the Panthers. Everyone predicted them to finish damn near in last place because they lost Kelvin Benjamin.
Yeah.
They made it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And you see that. It's like – you see a team like KC. I keep saying KC because that's who I want them to emulate.
The gold standard. The new gold standard.
Because it's feasible for them to be KC.
Yeah, you can be KC and it won't take you long to get there.
If you could be – if you had the same exact season the Kansas City Chiefs had last year, I'd be ecstatic. I mean, not even the record, but it's the same path. Get into the playoffs, win a playoff game. They just need to make some steps. What I need to see about the Eagles. And it's like, if you draft a quarterback, you're not making any steps, really.
But maybe they don't draft a quarterback. Because they asked Doug Peterson about Carson Wentz, and he said the following, quote, I'm excited to see where he goes and then excited to kind of follow his career.
But you also said, missed the, he thinks he's very elite.
Yeah, so you can say that. You can think of somebody who is elite and still want to see that dude.
Smokescreen.
I don't know, man.
If you had to put a percentage on it, what do you?
That it's going to happen?
That they trade up.
That is going to happen.
Yeah.
15%.
Okay.
I don't think it's expensive as hell, dog. I mean, that club is expensive to get into.
But if you're trying, if you're Howie, right, and you're running out of time. I mean, like he's not under a. I don't need a process like thing. I mean, he's got to find a quarterback.
He's got to find one now. Like you said to me.
Oh no! I agree. But okay. Like, for what they're saying is time is of the essence.
Right.
They don't have another year to wait around.
But you don't shoot your shot if it's just a bad place to shoot your shot.
No, but like I'm starting to realize they don't think it's a bad shot.
Okay. All right.
I think it's a terrible shot.
No, I think it's a good shot. If it's not a good shot, then it's like you don't just pull up from right past half court. Like, you just don't pull
We're
up.
We're to bring up our greatest analogy ever. You can't rent a condo because basically isn't Sam Bradford is renting a condo for 12 months?
He's renting a condo, yeah.
You don't need to move in to a mansion when you have the condo.
You got a condo. You good. Like you don't need to go price shopping for a mansion. Right now.
Because isn't this what we're looking for? We're looking to move on up.
The market is terrible right now. All right? There are bad factors in the market.
I'm not
right
going
to
lie. This is one of our best analogies ever.
It really
because
is.
It makes the sense. And of course, you got your little shack with like Chase Daniels. So you bought – no, that's the thing. You bought a lot of property.
You got property. You got your summer home. If you needed to live there, you got your timeshare. If you need to live there, you can live there. All right? But you got your little spot right now. With Sam Bradford, you straight. You just signed the lease. You're good. I don't know like that. But then somebody comes to you and they give you like the city paper. And they give you the John Belaris listings. Like, yo, check this out. And you're like, yo, it's a lot of money.
Ooh, I got it. Like here, like isn't this the ideal thing where you don't have a lot of like basically you'd want to live in your timeshare when the mansion is getting built. Like,
yes.
But you already bought the land. Like you already. Signed the agreement, right?
Right.
So you're waiting for that to get built. But you can't live in a condo that costs $10,000 when you're already paid $5 billion for a mansion that's going to be built in 3 years. Because isn't a franchise quarterback like these guys? Because these guys aren't ready. I mean, you can damn near – I'm beyond not convinced that you can't – these guys aren't ready day one. You need 3 years for this – mansion to be built.
Okay.
But you don't even know if it's going to be built right.
I see where you're going, but while you're waiting for that to be built, though, you can still chill in your condo.
With Sam Bradford?
Yeah. There's nothing preventing you from chilling in your condo.
No, but doesn't...
I'm just saying, though, you're spending a lot of money on something that might not be worth $25 million by the time you move into it. there are bad market factors right now. The market is terrible. You see the condo, the price of this condo is astronomical, okay? And you're like, yo, I don't know if I want to spend this much money on something overlooking rent house right now. Okay?
And they already know that you really, really want this, John.
Yes.
They like Nixon, your conversations. They're like, yo, we really want to live in this neighborhood. So you know, let's jack the price.
Yo,
up.
Cleavers is down the street. I know you want to live in this neighborhood.
They're building a brand new Target.
They're building a brand new Target, the new Comcast right down there. Like plenty of places, you know, Whole Foods coming, you know, and you're like,
they're taking advantage of your situation right
now. Exactly. The Eagles are getting taken advantage of right now. Don't let it happen. You got a decent little condo that you can live in for a year or two. Don't spend your money right
it's
now.
It's not like you're going to be homeless.
No.
I mean.
You're not homeless. You got multiple homes.
You know who a team I could see getting completely fleeced? Is a team like the Denver Broncos who have nothing right now.
No, but see, here's the thing, and I hate to defend this guy because, you know, he's your BFF. John Elway's too smart for that.
No, I mean their quarterback situation.
Yeah, they're needy. They need a dude. And they're like, yeah, usually when you're like super needy, you're like, all right, let's just make a move, just to make a move.
No, like the Rams. The Rams were the perfect
form
of needy plus making
– plus flash.
Moving a new – I mean, that means something.
Yeah, if the Rams were still in St. Louis this year, I don't know if they pull the straight off.
No.
I don't think they do.
Stan Kroenke ain't about – one, he hated St. Louis, so he's like, I'm not doing anything for this town.
Yeah.
But now he's in L.A. He's got his sunglasses on. He's like, yo, let's make the cover of the L.A. Times.
Man. We're going to be in the cover of the L.A. Times. We're going to be a Hard Knocks this year. We're going to make a splash.
See, call me crazy. I think these are the kind of type of things that people talk about in, like, a war room.
I'm going to guarantee everybody listening right now, Jared Goff will be taken by the Rams with the number one pick, and Carson Wentz will be drafted by the Browns with the number two pick, and that's it. Those two dudes are not going anywhere. Those two picks aren't moving anymore.
You don't think the Browns' brain trust is ballsy enough to ride with Robert Griffin III?
I don't think it's ballsy enough. I think they think Carson Wentz is a franchise.
They think he's a significant upgrade potentially over Robert Griffin.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think, like, yo, this is going to be, he is going to be our guy for the next 10
years. All right. So Hugh's not telling Jimmy Haslam, be like, yo, don't draft this dude. I got my dude in Rob.
Oh, yeah. No. Okay. No, I don't think so. They're not in a position to do like that. I mean, because again, like, you don't know what you got with Rob. Like, you just don't know. Like, if you had some inkling of something,
which is crazy, because you know what? If I was the GM, I think I, like, if they trade down, I think I would do what they're doing. If I had to really think.
If you're the Browns?
Didn't we say this 2 months ago? We'd be like, Rob, we saw that tape at Baylor. We saw that Vikings game. Because they need to build him up. And you got Hugh, and you got this smart, like, this analytic-esque brain trust now.
Yeah, you got Paul D.
Because they need players.
Look, if I'm the Browns, if somebody gives me a Rams-like offer, of course you trade down. I don't think they're going to get it. I don't think they're going to get enough to move them.
Do you have exactly what the Rams?
I sure do. Now, of course, St. Louis went from 15 to 1.
So you'd assume that going from 8 to 2 would cost, I'd say, significantly less.
St. Louis traded the number 15 pick, two high second rounders, 43 and 45, a third round pick, and their number one and number three next year. And they got in return the number one overall pick plus fourth and sixth round picks this year. So basically,
people actually thought that the Titans got hosed. Are you kidding me?
The Titans got the 15 pick, two twos, a three, and a one and three next year from the Rams, who will suck. That number one could be number one next year. It could be the number one overall pick next year, and you got it. Like, that, you have to pull the trigger if you're the Titans, especially since you have a quarterback. If they didn't have a quarterback and they didn't do that deal, I'd understand, even though I'm not a fan of Wentz and Goff like that. I'd get it.
That is such a haul. I mean, you could and say you wanted to move up in the first round. You've got so much ammo, it doesn't even matter.
Doesn't even matter.
Going to have a top 15 pick. You can get, say you get Jack Conklin or Taylor. You need to protect Mariota.
Right.
So say you get Taylor Decker.
Right.
And you get what? You got your second round pick.
You got the Rams second round pick. You got the Eagles second round pick. You got the Rams third round pick and your third round pick. You have six picks in the top 76.
See, you can even draft a running back now.
You have six in the top 76. All the dudes could damn near start for you. Okay, you're the Titans, so I mean, they could almost damn near all start for you next year. Like, that's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like that was, I mean, but once again.
And a 1-3 next year.
It is impossible if you're a team with the number one pick to make a bad move. Don't you ask for the moon and wait until they give it to you?
Somebody's going to give you damn near close to the moon. If you don't get the moon.
Just imagine say that an Andrew Luck-esque prospect was coming out. And say you had Jameis already.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine how much you would be able to get.
And here's the thing, though. Like,
this is for Jared Goff.
Yeah, like, if you're the Titans, doesn't the whole world know you ain't picking a quarterback? So, like, doesn't that give you less leverage?
No!
Like, it's so weird to me. It's like, if I'm the Rams, I'm like, you had to give up off that pick, man, because, like, you ain't drafting a quarterback. Like,
I think that the Titans saw the level of desperation that the Eagles are desperate. The Rams are desperate.
Well, the thing is, you got all these teams bidding against each other. Were they the only teams in discussion?
What other teams need a quarterback?
I think they were the only two teams.
All right, so the Rams, the Niners.
The Niners were probably talking.
The Eagles.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns didn't talk to the Titans. Like, yo, let's split.
Okay.
Let's see what, like, I'm sure, like, those guys are doing their due diligence. Like, yeah, let's see what's up. The Rams were like, here, just have our next two drafts.
But you make a good point. It's like, you would think that, like, they would be like, yo, we're gonna play chicken with you.
Call your bluff. Call your bluff. But you picking Laramie Tunsil, all right? Like, let's not be stupid about this.
But it's not like they'd be asked out if they, like, it's not like Laramie Tunsil's, like, such a terrible prospect.
Oh, no.
Yo, I think they would have been happy, like, just drafting him.
Yeah, if they draft Laramie Tunsil, no one would have said boo. Because, like, all right, that's fine. You get your bookend left tackle for your quarterback. All right.
I think they took advantage of a Rams team that was that needed to do something that, like, made a mark. And they don't need to play Nick Foles.
Yeah. Like, you got a desperate – like you said, a desperate Eagles team that's trying to do something. And a desperate Rams team that's trying to make a mark. So you have two teams pitted against each other. The Eagles would have traded their second-round pick if they had it to the Rams, to the Titans to get that. But thank you, Chip Kelly. They didn't have one. And so
but people were ripping that. I was like, you know what? I'm kind of glad they don't. Like, I'm glad they didn't have that second-round pick.
That's the thing, because it probably would have got done. Because the Eagles said, yo, here's eight, plus our second-round pick, plus our first and third next year, plus another three. You probably – I mean, that might have got it done.
And
because eight is way more – attractive than 15.
Just imagine how much heat Howie Roseman would have gotten for.
Oh, look, yeah.
He's not like, if he makes this move, he'll be under the microscope.
Which is why I don't think it happens. If you're Howie, if you just chill and just draft Zeke or draft Ronnie Stanley, you good. You fine. Like, it's fine. It's cool. Nobody expects anything from you.
No, but
a quarterback.
But remember, this is the same guy that was relegated to jock sniffing duty. You don't think he's HMDing right now? He's like, yo, I'm finding my quarterback this year.
If I'm Howie, I'm like, yo, quarterback's trash. I'm going to wait on this. I'm going to save my bullets for another year, and we're just going to come back next year. Let's draft a quote-unquote safe dude, and then we'll come over.
I just don't understand the urgency. I mean, you've been 55 years without a championship. What's 58? Like, I just have methodical team building. Like, I mean, obviously you need – a franchise quarterback. I get that. Yeah. I mean, everyone who is sensical gets that. But let's not just sell off all the damn assets to get the guy that we don't even know.
Don't know.
I mean, like, I need, if I'm selling off that much stuff, I need reassurance that he's the dude. I mean, that plug and play, one, I need him to play week one.
Right.
I mean, and I know he's got some cachet. I mean, sorry, I need a guy that went to a real school. Sorry.
North Dakota State, not a real school.
Nope. Cal, I mean, he was in that Ted, like, he was in that spread offense. I need a guy like, Jameis. He was in a pro style offense. I mean, like, he went to Florida State. I mean, could you imagine Carson Wentz having to deal with Philadelphia?
Nah. Nah, not really. Nah.
Once again,
nah.
You think that's the thing? You think Sam Bradford, like, he went from St. Louis, where no one gave a dookie about football, to Philly. People underestimate. Could you imagine having to hear that sports radio nonsense every day?
You know, that's a – you know, but, I mean,
Jameis dealt with it. He dealt with allegations. I need to know that a guy could take heat.
Yeah, I mean, Jameis dealt with stuff while he was playing at Florida State and was still balling out.
Yeah, that's the thing. With a guy like a Mariota, like, I mean – he's dealing with Heisman questions every day. He's dealing with, like, I mean, just Oregon being like,
Oregon,
yeah, like, you just don't figure out how to prepare for that.
But Steve McNair figured it out. Steve McNair had a hell of a career coming from.
I mean, sure, there are the exceptions.
Okay.
McNair, Flacco,
Mark Rippit. Oh,
yeah. I mean, but if you look at it, I mean, if you look at the list, most of these guys, Brady.
I know, you're right. Like, you look at all the guys, they go to big schools.
Aaron Rodgers.
Like, Breeze.
Yeah, like, I mean.
Even Rivers.
You just don't learn overnight how to deal with heat, criticism, just noise.
All right, so the young boy from North Dakota State, Bismarck, wherever the hell he's from, you don't think he's equipped to deal with Philadelphia?
No! No human being. If you put, I'm trying to think of, like, say Joel Embiid went to I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Always comes back to Joel Embiid.
Drake University.
Okay.
Like, can you ask this guy to be the face of a franchise in Philadelphia? Maybe in Milwaukee.
I'm sure I could find an example. I can't think of one. And
it's tough.
It's hard. No, you're right. I never thought about that angle. But I mean, like, that's important. I mean, when you're a number one or number two pick, basically, when you're a franchise level quarterback drafted that high, you are the face of the franchise. Like, you are the guy. Like, everything that happens, let's say the Eagles trade up to two and draft Carson Wentz or whatever. Everything good or bad that happens with the Eagles is going to be either blamed or it's going to be, I think bad is going to be blamed on Carson Wentz for the next 10 years.
If you can replace Carson Wentz's resume with Jared Goff's, I feel a little less worried.
Because Jared Goff is from California, went to Cal.
Yeah, he just has small ass hands.
He's got, he got little hands.
He just looks like a West. Like, I mean, he looks like a West Coast quarterback.
But that the North Dakota thing bothers you.
Yes.
Okay.
And the fact he was hurt.
But you think it's a 60% chance that he comes? He's going to be the guy.
Because they've looked past. Like, they must have been like in awe of this guy. He must have been talking like sermon like
elite.
Yeah. I mean, and. Hey, man, they're going to – hey, this is on their Eagles epitaph because it might happen in 3 years.
Yeah, it might happen.
This is good. Carson Wentz is going to be – Carson, the blood of Howie Rose is going to be on Carson Wentz.
I'm telling you, that's why if I'm Howie, I don't do it. Like, you putting yourself out there right now. Like, you are pushing all your chips to the table like 3 months in. Like, there's no reason to put the accelerate this. There's none. None. You can chill.
Oh, no. Like, but I'm seeing too much smoke right now.
Okay. All right. We'll ask in the second hour of the show, in about 35 minutes or so, we will ask our Eagles guests.
Oh, no.
Guests.
How tight are Eagles fans? Because I would think the consensus, because usually, remember last year, do the deal. Like, people want it because it just seemed like a perfect fit.
It seemed like a fit. Perfect fit, right.
This isn't a perfect fit.
No.
Because he's from Bismarck, Biombo.
He's from Bismarck, North Dakota. He doesn't run the Doug Peterson / Andy Reid / West Coast offense. This isn't like Marcus Mariota, the perfect dude for Chip Kelly's system, plug and play kind of thing. This is not that.
No, honestly, even if this was Marcus Mariota trying to learn a West Coast offense, I'd feel more comfortable.
Oh, absolutely. Good one, because he's played at a big program and you've seen him and so on and so forth.
I wrong to over, like...
I don't think so. I mean, like you said, like, we've seen... Football has been played the same way over like 90 years in the NFL. There are very few quarterbacks from little schools who can handle it in big cities. I mean, they're just.
This would be like.
And there are quarterbacks at big schools who can't handle it. There's Ryan Leaf. He couldn't handle San Diego.
I hate to say it. Look at Geno Smith. Like,
Smith.
I really think if Geno Smith would have went to like Minnesota, didn't play off the rip. Maybe learn. He was playing the first week.
Right.
And, of course, how many articles, New York Post articles, did you see about Geno Smith after that?
1,000.
They were funny, but, yeah. Doesn't that ruin a kid?
It can. I mean, unless you're built for that. And not everybody's built for that.
Like, you know who actually was able to handle the New York noise for the first? Mark Sanchez.
Mark Sanchez, yeah.
He owned, but when, If you thrive, you own it. If you own the city,
right?
Guys don't own the city.
But again, Mark Sanchez went to USC. You know, was equipped to deal with that, not that level, but a higher level of scrutiny than a guy like a Geno Smith.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's something to be said about it. All right, we'll take a quick break. On the other side, we're going to talk some more NFL, get into some more schedule notes. We'll look at the rest of the NFL schedule and get into some other topics before our guest Jimmy Kemsky, Eagles beat writer of PhillyVoice.com, and joins us. You're listening to the Broad Street Line here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back to the show. Alongside Chris Domingo, I'm Roy Burton, and we're here for hour number two of the show. But before we get back into it, please take a moment to check out our friends and sponsors over at VeteransShirtium.com. That's VeteransShirtium, S-H-I-R-T-I-U-M.com, like Veteran Stadium, but Veteran Shirtium. Check them out for the absolute best in Philadelphia sports gear. Promo code BSLINE, all caps, all one word, will get you 10% off of your order. Get the new Spectrum and Veteran Shirtium t-shirts. Get your Holy Ghost, Shane Gotts and Spirit t-shirts. Plenty of other gear as well, no matter what team or what sport is your favorite. VeteranStadium.com. All right, yeah, so we're back here. Yeah, Tom Brady, like we were saying before the break, Tom Brady doesn't need much to be happy. We as Eagles fans need a lot to be happy. Tom Brady doesn't need much to be happy. Just give him a couple weapons. He's going to be fine. You talked me out of this whole Christmas thing. I was excited about the 5 basketball games and the 2 football games. Now all I got is Denver KC. Now all I got is Alex Smith, Mark Sanchez. That's all I got. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
See, man, that's going to, like, man, Twitter overload is going to happen that day.
That's crazy because I won't be home. I'll be up with the in-laws. I'm like, yo, can I sit by a TV for 12 hours? It's not going to work. Like, I need to watch basketball and football. It's not even going to be my TV, so I can't, like, flip when I want to flip. This is a bad situation, man. Bad situation. Flex scheduling this year can occur as soon as week 5. So if there's some team that gets hot early on, maybe the Eagles, as Kristen Mingo believes, they can flex out the Eagles games as early as week 5 of the season. A couple of other NFL notes before we take a break. As I mentioned before, Ravens signed Trent Richardson, who's going to play for every single team in the AFC South AFC North.
He's going to be like the Matt Barnes of like the NFL.
Speaking of running backs, Eddie Lacy reportedly lost 15 to 18 pounds this offseason. Have you seen him?
So he's only 280 pounds?
He's not. He was never too sick. Well, I don't know if he was ever because he looked like it. Have you seen him? He looks pretty good. He looks like he's in shape.
So obviously, he was not in shape.
You saw him get chased down. You saw him lumber like he had a piano on his back when he was trying to run.
So obviously, when the guard, Aaron probably talked to him, was like, come on, man.
Aaron says he looks good. Jordy says he looks good. When your coach says, yo, you need to lose, well, allegedly, says you need to lose 30 pounds. I mean,
see, like the Packers, I mean, just think about it. They were one play away from making the NFC Championship. They get Jordy Nelson back and a skinnier Eddie Lacy.
You get skinny Eddie Lacy, you get Jordy Nelson back. The Packers are going to be a problem this year, man. They're going to be a problem. Speaking of problems, Johnny Manziel was a problem at a rental house. Reportedly caused nearly $20,000 worth of damage to a rental home. According to reports, there was evidence of drugs and alcohol in the home. And Josh Gordon was reportedly at the home during this weekend bender at the Johnny Manziel rental house.
Up out of here.
I don't even know what it is. First of all, news came today that Drew Rosenhaus said, you know what? I can't deal with you anymore. You haven't decided to get rehab. You go.
I mean, the fact that Drew Rosenhaus, who decided to stick with Josh Gordon, though, because but that just shows that, like, he's cool with Josh Gordon.
Yes.
Johnny Manziel,
A little bit too much for Drew Rosenhaus, who has never fired a client in 27 years.
Because isn't that the point of agents, is where, like, you deal with it?
What, like, before Johnny Manziel, I never heard of an agent firing a client. Like, when does this happen?
No.
He's been fired, Johnny Manziel's been fired twice in 2 months by 2 separate guys.
You know what? I hate to be morbid. It's only a matter of time where this dude just, someone finds this dude,
passed out.
Yeah, passed out.
Yeah, just say passed out. We don't want to be negative here.
You know what? This is becoming scary time. I mean, this is not, it's almost getting to the point where it's not funny anymore.
Have you seen a picture recently of Johnny Manziel?
Does he look bad?
He looks really skinny. Like, he's lost. Like, he looks like he's like a little bit bigger than you.
Cocaine is one hell of a drug, my friend.
Allegedly.
No, allegedly. That's like once again, when your dad, your father says, if you keep this up, you won't live to see your next birthday.
Yeah, your dad. Your dad says, you might not make it to 25. Your father.
But of course, I'm pretty sure. I think he is unable to be reached right now. I don't think anyone can reach him.
Well, LeBron can reach him. Multiple agents can reach him. I mean, yeah, I don't want to cast aspersions on people. Probably not hanging out with the best crowd in the world.
I know. You know what? I don't even think, like, I think someone said it. He just likes the part. Like, I mean, he doesn't, like, I mean, I don't want to say he's a spoiled rich kid, but, like, I mean, he's a spoiled rich kid.
Yeah.
Who has zero regard for anything other than partying. And I think he's just sticking his nose at, like, everyone who says he needs it. I mean, I think if he's going to get help, he's going to need to realize it himself.
Yeah. And it's kind of sad.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, again, like, I mean, there is something there. I mean, you saw, like, even in glimpses last
but
year.
But I think, you know, there could be more. Like, at Texas A&M, I think he was just so talented.
Right.
He wasn't even trying. Like, I mean, I really think he hasn't really tried at football. He's naturally good.
Yeah.
Just imagine if he tried.
He's a naturally gifted guy who at, you know, 5'11 or whatever tall he is, 6 feet, whatever he is. He was so good with his natural gifts that he could dazzle on the field at Texas A&M, you know, quite a bit. And even at times in the NFL. And we know at Texas A&M, my man wasn't all about the playbook.
No!
My man wasn't all about watching film or dedicating himself to his craft. And we saw what he did there. And we saw glimpses of it with the Browns. If he's got his life on track, and I mean, he has a coach, if he was still there, a coach that could get him, you know, give him the tools that he needs to be a really good quarterback or a competent quarterback in this league. And he's like, I need to go to Club Live or wherever, I don't know, Hakkasan or whatever. It's crazy. It's crazy. All right. We're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we're going to talk some NBA and some stuff. And soon, hopefully in the next 5 to 10 minutes, we'll be joined by our guest, Jimmy Kemsky, Eagles beat writer of PhillyVoice.com. You're listening to the Broad Street Line here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back to the Broad Street Line alongside Chris Domingo. I'm Wade Burton, and we're here for the final sprint on the Broad Street Line. Hopefully, we'll be joined soon by Jimmy Kemsky of PhillyVoice.com and talk some Eagles. But before that happens, we're also going to switch gears a little bit and talk some basketball and talk a little bit of Sixers, because the Sixers lottery odds finally set. All the coin flips and all that good stuff finally happened. We now know that the Sixers have a 26.9% chance at the number one selection in the 2016 NBA draft. How excited are you, Chris Domingo?
Not enough?
No, you're not terribly, you don't appear to be terribly excited.
No.
About that.
No.
The highest draft odds ever for a number one
pick. So you're saying is the Sixers are on a pace to historically have bad luck.
No one has ever had this good of a chance to get the number one pick in a draft. You should be excited. It's not just 25%. It's 26.9%. Thank you, Kings, for the swap.
I need your, like, what is the pulse of Sixers Nation right now?
What's the pulse of Sixers Nation?
Yeah.
What do they feel?
Are they still mad? Are they about to give up the hatred towards the Colangelos?
No.
Okay.
The Quenzel Haitian will, you know what? I think the Quenzel Haitian will last until, you know, probably until we find out what happens May 17th and with the draft. But we'll get back to the Sixers in a second, because joining us on the line right now, one of our favorites, Eagles beat writer for PhillyVoice.com, Jimmy Kemsky. Jimmy, how's it going, man?
Hey, Jimmy.
How's it going, guys?
Pretty good, pretty good. We're talking a little bit of Eagles, so we want to actually have you have a question for you about something you wrote today, and the Eagles, talking about the Eagles possibly moving up in the draft. Now, if you had to put a percentage on it right now, as we had 9 days away from the draft, what's the chance you think of them swinging a deal for the number two pick?
Well, if I were to pick one player who I think the Eagles will wind up from, from this draft, my number one guy I think would be Carson Wentz. In terms of putting the percentage on them actually moving up and getting him or another quarterback specifically, I really have no idea. But yeah, I mean, I would think that they are very much interested in trying to either move up, or I would think you kind of have to move up to get a quarterback at this point. Obviously, with the Rams going to be taking one at first overall, and I think they're going to be aggressive and try to do that. You know, obviously they already tried to move up to the number one pick with the Titans, and it appears that the Browns are willing to move back. So you have a willing trade partner, and you have an Eagles team that seems to be, you know, fairly enamored with what appears to be Carson Wentz. Then yeah, I mean, go ahead, go be aggressive and go get him.
So, you know, you think they're enamored with Carson Wentz. We kind of think the same thing. If they're so pressed or they're so enamored with getting a quarterback in this draft, then what's the rationale behind them spending so much money this offseason on a Sam Bradford and on Chase Daniel?
Yeah, well, from my perspective, Sam Bradford is essentially 1 year, maybe 2 years of competence in what is really just a god-awful NFC East. Now, I mean, you can kind of look at that a number of different ways where you say, okay, well, why do you pay that guy that kind of money just to kind of be competent? And that's a fair question.
Okay.
I don't know the answer. I personally would just let him go. But, you know, you're never sure what you're going to get in the draft or in free agency. So he was, of course, the first quarterback that the Eagles signed among, you know, him and Chase Daniel and if they draft somebody. So, you know, you kind of have to have a quarterback in place, and I guess they figured that his short-term deal that he signed was, I guess, kind of the trade-off for giving him the kind of money that he did, whether it be over 1 year, which, you know, they'll have acceptable pain getting out of in a year if they so choose, or 2 years, which would take him to the end of his contract. So, you know, it's only a short-term deal. They clearly don't see him, or at least they have questions about him as the long-term solution at quarterback for this team. So, and obviously they've been aggressive so far in trying to get up to draft a quarterback and trying to move up to that number one spot. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you worry about what kind of money they're paying these guys for 1 year, because really Bradford is kind of a short-term option. And then Chase Daniel, in my view, is kind of a long-term backup option.
Okay. Now, Jimmy, if they make this move and they give up a lot of assets and picks, what does this team look like in 2 years? Because, like, I mean, obviously you hopefully have your quarterback, but how do you build this team? I mean, I know you got some building blocks, but I mean, don't you need players still?
Yeah, and he works out and he becomes, you know, good, legitimate, top 10 to top 12 type of quarterback in the NFL, then it's all worth it, because ultimately you either have a quarterback or you don't. And if you don't, you really don't have a chance unless you have some kind of historic defense like the 2000 Ravens or the 2002 Buccaneers.
Right.
Whereas we saw this past season with the 2015 Broncos, who obviously have a Hall of Fame quarterback but didn't play anything like a Hall of Fame quarterback in the 2015 season. So, yeah, I mean, if you can solve that one position, you look at the difference between, you know, kind of a top 10, a quote-unquote top 10 type of quarterback, just an average, like just a guy kind of quarterback, you're probably going to win, you know, anywhere between 3 to 6 more games over the course of a season. If you look at a top 10 kind of like offensive tackle, cornerback, or, you know, pass rusher, and you compare that to a guy that's, you know, sort of a just a guy at any one of those positions, what are you going to win? One more game with you know, a stud at any one of those spots? So I think you really just have to address that quarterback position because, again, you're not going to win anything unless you really have that position locked down. So if you can do that, then go ahead and do it. Obviously, it's a risk, and there is, you know, kind of a high draft bust percentage with the quarterback position. But, again, you either have one or you don't. And if you don't, you don't have a chance. So they got to get that position fixed. And, personally, I think the way to go is to go get that quarterback if cost happens to be, you know, if it happens to be costly, then that's kind of the trade-off. But, yeah, I do think they have some pieces on defense. I think their offensive line certainly needs some work. They need some better skill position players on offense. But, the quarterback position is the one thing that you absolutely have to have above everything else.
Right. We're live with Jimmy Kemsky at PhillyVoice.com. Let me ask you this, Jimmy. We were talking about, you know, the quarterback. Maybe the price is too high for the Eagles to trade up and get one of the two guys that they probably want. Have they given any indications on what player they might be targeting if they happen to stay at 8 and draft somebody there?
They haven't. There's obviously a number of options there. You can go Hargraves, the corner from Florida. Everything that I've heard, they're not going to go offensive line in the first round of this draft. I don't think that Ezekiel Elliott is going to be in play in the first round of this draft. There's a guy maybe like Miles Jack who has had some, you know, on the medical recheck, some people are concerned with his knee. That's a guy who could fall to 8. And, you know, maybe you're tempted by a guy like him who is just, you know, just extremely impressive athletically and what he can do for your defense, playing a number of different spots and his versatility. But, I certainly think corner is a position and maybe one of those guys that obviously if Eagles are sitting there at 8 and they're drafting a positional player, then there's going to be two players off the board, so they're going to get one of the top 6, positional players left in this draft. And another guy that's a possibility there would be Joey Bosa, is defensive end from Ohio State. The reason I think there's a chance maybe he could fall to them would be that, you know, the Ravens are picking 6 and the 49ers are picking 7th. Both of those teams are 3-4 defenses. Now you can maybe put Bosa in either of those defenses as a 3-4 rush outside linebacker, but really ultimately I think that his best fit in the NFL is a 4-3 defensive end. So maybe teams like that pass on him and he falls to the Eagles at 8.
And you mentioned that, you know, Ezekiel Elliott may not be in the cards for the Eagles. And I saw that in your mock draft, your latest mock draft, you had the Eagles taking Kenyon Drake in the middle rounds there. Do you think that they're willing to wait until the middle rounds to add to their running back depth? Do you think that that's probably the way they go?
I think it's a pretty good bet that they draft a running back in this draft. And Howie Roseman even talked about that at the combine where, you know, you don't want to – you look at the running backs that they have on the roster currently. Ryan Matthews, 2 years left on this deal, but has been extraordinarily injury-prone throughout his career. And Darren Sproles is going to be 33 in June. He's on the final year of his deal. There's a really good chance that he's not going to be on the team in 2017. And Kenyon Barner, to me, is a guy who – you know, he's flashed a little bit of ability, but has been just far too inconsistent with, you know, I mean, devastating fumble against, or what could have been a devastating fumble against the Patriots that could cost him that game last year. Bunch of drop passes against the Redskins and in very limited action. So he hasn't really been a guy who's shown the consistency to be kind of a reliable part of a running back rotation. So you don't really have much, especially, you know, when you look forward to 2017. So I think they do want to get somebody in there that can be part of that running back rotation. And I specifically think that they want a guy who can catch passes out of the backfield. Obviously, that was a big part of Andy Reid's offense when he was here, and I think most of us kind of speculate that Doug Peterson's offense is going to look a lot like Reid's did when he was here. So, you know, the primary thing for me when the Eagles are looking for a running back is, can he catch passes out of the backfield? Can he pass protect? Can he do a lot of those other things aside from just being able to run the football?
Now, Jimmy, in the event that they do move up in the draft and select the quarterback, are they still under the impression that they can be competitive while this quarterback gets, I guess, like
off the field training, like, because you're basically not getting anything from your quarterback for at least a year, maybe two.
Right. So the thinking is if they draft a guy like Carson Wentz, you know, he's going to sit for a year and you know, maybe be ready in 2017 with a year of tutelage, you know, under. And really, this coaching staff is kind of built that way, where Doug Peterson's a former quarterback and former quarterback coach. Frank Reich is a former quarterback and former quarterback coach. They have DeFilippo that they got over from the Browns as an offensive coordinator and a quarterback coach. And, of course, Chase Daniel, who's been kind of like that, you know, sort of like that, backup quarterback that was kind of, you know, pushed the quarterback in front of him throughout his entire career with Drew Brees and Alex Smith. So I think they're geared to drafting a quarterback and letting him develop. But when you ask, you know, are they equipped to just let their first-round pick sit for a year and not really contribute at all in 2016, my answer to that is twofold. A, who cares? Like, who cares about 2016?
Right.
You know, they're not, in my view, Super Bowl contenders anyway. So, you know, get that guy up to speed and put him in the best position to succeed and, you know, maybe be your franchise quarterback for the next decade. And secondly, they signed five guys in free agency who are right. You're probably going to get five starters out of the guys that they signed in free agency. So it's not like this offseason has been, you know, it's not like this offseason will, no matter what they do in the draft, they will have added a number of significant contributors on both sides of the ball in free agency.
We're live with Jimmy Kemsky, Eagles beat writer, PhillyVoice.com. Just switch gears a little bit and let's talk about the guys on the roster. And one of those guys, Fletcher Cox, the negotiations with him, do you see them going all the way to training camp or will something get done relatively soon?
Yeah, there's a report that I haven't read yet, dived into that yet. A little bit of a busy day, but apparently Jason Cole of, I want to say, Bleacher Report came out with a report today saying that that a deal is close, and I believe Les Bowen, was it, looked into it, said that nothing was imminent. I haven't really, again, like I said, I just haven't had the time to kind of dive in on that myself. But, yeah, I think they're going to get something done. I mean, the Eagles want him back. I think Fletcher Cox wants to be back. Fletcher Cox and his camp want to be paid like, you know, one of the premier interior defensive linemen in the NFL. And there have been a lot of guys at that spot that have gotten paid big dollars in the last couple of years, like J.J. Watt and Marcel Darius and Dominican Sue and guys like that. So, you know, he's going to be looking at deals that they got, and he's going to want to be paid accordingly. Problem for Fletcher Cox, is that, you know, he's going to be making a little bit under $8 million this year if he doesn't get a deal done. Next year, the Eagles can franchise tag him. Projected franchise tag for 2017 is going to be somewhere in the ballpark of, I would guess, around $16 million for defensive tackle. So you're looking at, you know, he's looking at making $24 million over the next 2 years when that is far, far below his market value. Now, Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson spoke at length yesterday with the media, and Howie Roseman was very clear that he wasn't trying to play that leverage game with Fletcher Cox. They know full well the value that he has, and they know full well that he's going to be paid a lot of money. And he even went out and said, we're not going to, quote unquote, win this deal. So he knows that they're going to have to pay him and pay him a lot of money, not even just to keep him with the team, but they're just going to pay him a lot of money because he's a good player and deserves it.
Right.
So, yeah, I think a deal, I think, you know, when you have sort of that mindset that I do think they're going to get a deal done now. As far as the timing on that, when it's going to happen, no clue. I mean, I really just don't know, but I am, you know, I certainly do think that they're going to get a deal done. If I had to guess, yeah, I would guess it gets done by the time training camp rolls around.
Okay. Now, Jimmy, I guess Fletcher Cox will be the focal point of this new defense implemented by Jim Schwartz. But I guess the main question is, who's rushing the passer? Like, I mean, it seems like a very good pass rusher has been, I guess, hasn't been on the Eagles in a few years. Like, does Vinnie Curry fill that spot, or does it come from somewhere else? Because they do need, like, improved pass rushing.
Yeah, they don't have that quote-unquote stud pass rusher, but they do kind of have him in numbers. So they have Fletcher Cox at the inside. You know, we'll see what Benny Logan is as a pass rusher alongside him on the inside. And then they have the three guys on the outside and Connor Barwin, who put up big sack numbers in 2014, although those weren't the type of sacks where, you know, he's soundly beating, you know, a left tackle, you know, man-to-man, you know, mano-a-mano, you know, to get to the quarterback. But you have Brandon Graham, of course, and you have Vinnie Curry. So you do have three guys that are capable of getting to the quarterback. So they have them in numbers. I mean, and you know, the way that Jim Johnson used to kind of deploy his defensive line, you always used to hear Andy Reid said that they were looking to fire fastballs, and you know, they just keep throwing, you know, guys at the opposing offensive line in numbers. So you're going to see a little bit of a similar approach. You know, Brandon Graham actually was talking today. You know, his responsibilities in the 3-4 last season, he said, you know, he's standing up and, you know, being asked to drop into coverage on occasion. And not only that, he said, the thing about standing up is, he said, you almost kind of see too much from that vantage point. So you're always kind of surveying the field and seeing what's going on around you, and you're reading and reacting to what the offense is doing. Whereas in Jim Schwartz's system, he's going to have his hand in the dirt. He's down low, can't really see what's going on. And it's just get up the field and get after the quarterback, and that's all they're going to ask him to do. So I think the defensive ends, and you look at the history of defensive linemen playing for Jim Schwartz, and their sack numbers are, you know, really significantly higher playing for Jim Schwartz than they are with, you know, whenever they moved on to other teams. So I think you're going to see an uptick in the number of times that these pass rushers are going to be able to get to the quarterback in 2016.
Oh, Jimmy, I think you must have just accidentally omitted Marcus Smith II. Sorry.
How dare I do that? Yeah, he's gonna be a defensive end, and we'll see. He got a sack last year, first he got a tackle last year, which was good.
That's right.
That was step one, and then he got a sack.
That's right. Hey, Jimmy, before we let you go, we have to ask you about the most important thing that you probably posted in the past week or so. That was your breakfast cereal mock draft on Twitter.
Okay. Yeah.
Now you had the cinnamon toast crunch number one. Now, what's the rationale behind that?
In all honesty, cinnamon toast crunch being number one was like the least. First of all, that tweet that I put out got more hate. Got like just the vitriol that thing drew was insane. And you can put any list of you know, 12 favorite cereals or whatever, and there's no way that it wouldn't draw the kind of hate that mine did. And to be honest with you, Cinnamon Toast Crunch being number one actually drew probably the least controversy among the 12 cereals that I had on there. Golden Grahams got attacked quite a bit. A lot of people thought that the omission of Captain Crunch was egregious. But yeah, I mean, that thing got so many replies, and just the anger that people had from that tweet was really just kind of crazy. And I knew it heading in, but I didn't know it was going to be to that extent. But yeah, Toast Crunch for me is number one.
See, my main beef with the list, and I think it was a solid list though. You omitted Cheerios. You had no Cheerios on the list.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, everyone has kind of their cereal that I didn't have on there, and they're like, this is crap. Like, how can this list exist without, you know, X cereal? So, Cheerios, whatever.
Hey, Jimmy, before we let you go, please take a moment or so to let everybody out there know how they can follow your work online or how they can check you out on Twitter.
Yeah, so I write for PhillyVoice.com. You can just go there, or you can follow me on Twitter at Jimmy Kemsky.
Jimmy Kemsky, Eagles beat writer, PhillyVoice.com. Jimmy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jimmy.
We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Jimmy Kemsky, PhillyVoice.com. He's pouring water on the Ezekiel Elliott stuff. He's pouring water on it, man. I'm a little sad, man. Zeke ain't gonna happen,
man. Like, I need to hear like legitimate beat writers like Mr. Kemsky. Might be talking me into this Carson Wentz thing, man.
Oh my God, I'm tired of, like, our main tenant. We've done this for like 5 years now. Okay, the one thing that we want more than anything else is sexy, right? Isn't that what we want out of our pick?
And is it
Carson Wentz ain't sexy for me?
Oh well, but is it trading up to get a quarterback?
No,
sexy?
But not Carson Wentz. Staying at eight.
But isn't what if you put the broad street line tenets of life?
Yes.
What do we want more in life than anything?
We want talent.
No, we want an effing franchise quarterback.
Okay. Oh yeah. Oh, you mean more than okay? Yes, more than anything in the world.
I think I would even say I want that more than a that dude in basketball.
In sports, yes, I would agree. I want a franchise level quarterback. I don't know. I'm trying to pick a name, but I don't want to be Aaron Rodgers because that's a bit
no, no. Like, let's just say
Jameis Winston.
Well, we'd be happy if he was Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
So we want him. We want a Joe Flacco.
We want a Joe Flacco quarterback. Yep. More than a dat dude in basketball. And by a dat dude, I mean, I don't know, like a Kawhi Leonard.
Because once again, we are the realistic people. Would we like LeBron James? Sure.
Hell yes.
Would we like Tom
Kevin
Brady?
Durant? Yes. We like Brad Beal? Yes. And that can happen. But no, that's not realistic.
Yeah, no, I think, once again, we monitor our expectations. Like, no, I think that you don't want Matt Ryan, right?
But I don't think Carson Wentz is that guy.
You don't think he can be.
I want talent. Like, didn't you say, you talked about the Broncos, they got franchise players all over the place. Don't you want one? Zeke is probably one. You've talked me into Zeke. Zeke is probably one.
But the more, once again, I take the stats. You are more likely to win with a great quarterback.
Than a great running back.
Or with an defense than a great defense and a crap quarterback.
Who is the best? Like, who has?
Well, what is the easier path to get to a Super Bowl?
The great quarterback.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't disagree with
that.
Once
again, you got to I mean, do I think Carson Wentz is that? But once again, I ain't watching tape. I mean, there wasn't any tape to watch because he didn't play.
Well, he didn't play that much. Yeah. I mean, you got to go back and watch a little tape. But I didn't think, and I was wrong. I didn't think Marcus Mariota was a guy last year. I think he kind of is now.
Oh yeah, no, like that's
what they did with Mariota, and I wasn't sold on Mariota last year.
Once again, I like seeing if you had to rank the quarter. Like I think I said this, the guys from 2011 since Cam.
All right, the recent dudes.
Yeah, where do these guys rank? I think they're at the bottom. They're like
of the top 15.
They're not Mariota. They're not Jameis.
No,
I don't even think they're Ryan Tannehill. I mean,
I wasn't a huge Tannehill fan coming out of school. I'd probably put him ahead of Tannehill. I'd probably put both of them ahead.
Well, once
of Tannehill.
Again, I get the concept. Shoot your shot. But for me, I need Carson Wentz to fill out all the boxes. He doesn't have a Flacco arm. Because Flacco's arm.
You need a Flacco arm?
Yes.
No, you don't. To win a Super Bowl, you need a Flacco
arm.
No,
but if I get my quarterback, I need a Flacco arm.
Beggars can't be choosers. The best quarterback ever did not have a Flacco arm.
Right? John Elway had
Joe Montana did not have a Flacco arm. So I don't need a
but
Flacco
I
arm.
But I also need.
I need an accurate dude more than I need a Flacco arm.
I know. It's not a preferred.
Give me Donovan McNabb accuracy. Well, not the bouncing in the ground. Or like that. But give me a dude who doesn't turn the ball over and a little bit more accurate. Passing, and like I'm okay.
So you're not. If this was a different quarterback we were talking about, we'd be all in.
If this was Marcus Mariota, is that fair?
Yeah.
If this is Marcus Mariota,
you'd be willing enough to give two ones,
give
two threes.
I would go full Rams. I go full Rams. I'm like, yo, you want my one? I don't have a two because my coach traded it away. I'll give you the one and three in the next 2 years. Boom.
The funny thing is, just imagine if you would have done this last year, you wouldn't have to give up the. See, that's the thing that sucks for me is you're giving up a top 10 pick.
Well, you would if you traded last year, you would have gave up. Well, you would
no,
you would you would have gave up a higher pick. If you had gotten Mariota last year, you would have sucked.
No, but no, if you would have traded Mariota, you would have given up the 22nd. Like
the 22nd pick last year, but you would have given up the pick this year.
You think you would have stunk with Mariota?
The Titans weren't good. Put Marcus Mariota on this team last year. How many games did they win anyway? He was terrible anyway.
I think they would have won the same amount of games.
I don't know about that. I really don't think so. I don't think so.
Oh, I think so.
You would have gave up a top 10 pick.
Remember, you had Chip Kelly's offense with Mark. Like, I mean, you would have had the guy. One,
you had DeMarco Murray running for nothing last year.
But you didn't need him because you would have had a guy running.
Okay.
No, I'm telling you.
Marcus Mariota, I know he loves Chip Kelly. I know that the two are in sync and the offense is great and all that other stuff. I don't think plugging Marcus Mariota into this team immediately, what did they win, 7-9?
Yeah.
7-9 last year. I don't think they would have won 7-9.
Oh, my God.
I think they would have won 5-11.
It's crazy. How different would life have been if they would have made that trade?
Well, Chip would have been here. Chip would still be here.
Would the once again, if the Eagles made that trade, the Eagles would be better, worse, or the same off.
They would be better off. I hate to say it, they would be better off. They still have a bum ass coach. Still be drinking them bum ass movies. But they'd be better off because you would have a guy.
Yes.
Having a guy, because you could get rid of a coach. It's harder to get a guy than it is to get rid of a coach.
And just remember, like, I mean, it's, I like Fletcher Cox. I really do. But Fletcher Cox ain't moving, like, he ain't moving and he ain't winning championships.
He ain't moving, and he don't know. He ain't right.
Oh, sorry. Who else are you trading? Michael Kendricks? I wish they would have traded Michael Kendricks.
Angry Bird.
Oh, yo, you and I traded Brandon Blake. You cut him.
No, that was racist, but yeah.
I mean, if the more you rationalize it, they should have made the trade.
Trade was what we heard, the rumors that we heard or whatever, they probably should have made the trade. Yeah. Like, I mean, like Jimmy just said, like, if that's your guy, you got to get a quarterback. Like, getting a quarterback is imperative. You cannot be a good team. You cannot be a perennial playoff team, perennial contender without a quarterback. So Jimmy said, if that's your guy, go get him. That's the way you should approach everything.
Yeah.
No, and like you said,
we
if
just,
that's your guy.
We just disagree that with and to be honest, we don't know squat.
Because I wouldn't have done, like, if you asked me, like, we had this discussion last year, like a year ago today on the show. Would you do all that for Mario? I'm like, no, that's too much. Well, obviously that was wrong. Like, obviously I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Because looking back at it now, I was like, why would you not do that? Like,
no,
of course you do it.
No, like, I mean, it's, and that's the thing. For me anyway, like, just putting the Fletcher Cox thing, one, just imagine how much, like, obviously you're losing out on a buttload of picks. I get that.
Yeah. You know, no Nelson Aguilar, no Fletcher Cox, no player X you drafted.
No,
this year.
You probably would have given, no Eric Rowe.
No Eric Rowe. Right. No Ronnie Stanley. I'll throw a name out there. And no, I don't know, whatever.
But it doesn't matter.
You got a guy. And getting a guy, it's harder to get a guy than it is to find another Nelson Aguilar or finding another Eric Rowe.
No, you have to suffer 2 years with no picks.
Yeah.
Hey, look at the Redskins.
Really?
Look,
a year, because the first year you got your quarterback.
But look at the Redskins. They had zero picks. Somehow they won the division this last year.
Yeah.
With not even the quarterback they picked.
Not even their guy that they traded all the picks away for. Yeah.
Look at the Giants. I mean, like, they had no, like, you get, at some point you will get picks again.
Yeah, you're gonna be fine. Like, the NFL gives every team seven picks every single year. Okay, you're going to get those picks at some point, whether you trade them away like this year.
Yeah.
At some point down the road, you're gonna have those seven picks again. Okay, at least.
Yeah. No. Like, you just, like, let's just say, thank God they didn't give up what the Rams, like the Redskins, gave up to the Rams.
The Rams.
They gave up three first rounds.
Yeah, three ones. Three.
Yeah, no, I'm still anti-trade up, but, like, it just seems like, but I think what Kempsky's saying is, the Eagles know they ain't going to be good.
Yes.
I mean, I really think.
Which is why you shouldn't sign Sam Bradford, but that's neither here nor there.
If they don't think they're good, then I can, co-sign on trading up. Because they're saying, all right, you know what, we're probably going to max out at 8-8.
Right.
And chances are, we're probably going to be 6-10. But once again, it shows they got NAM faith in Sam Bradford.
But if you knew, if you knew you were going to be bad,
tank.
Yeah, like, what's wrong with tanking? Like, if you know you're going to be bad, don't sign Sam Bradford. Hell, sign Chase.
Can the Eagles tank?
Why not?
In this town.
You know what? You could spend. If you could spin and say, you know what, all you need to do with the tank is just to let Chase Daniel play 16 games and not sign Sam Bradford. It ain't like Sixers level tanking where you're bringing in Lorenzo Brown and Darius Johnson Odom. You could just say, you know what? He is our guy. Chase Daniel is our guy. We believe in him. Doug believes in him.
How many
He's
Sundays would have taken to be like, I'm done with this?
What, the Eagles?
No, I'm done with this tanking thing. If you would have said, all right, I'm cool with this, by what week would you be like, I give up? No, we can't do this no more.
I've lived through 3 years of Sixers tanking. You're asking the wrong person. All right. My body is like accustomed to tanking.
Remember, this is a different animal. Like, I mean, that's the thing with football. You can't even say I'm kind of tanking.
No. I mean, you could, like, Chase, playing Chase Daniel is your starting quarterback for 16 games is not the optimal solution for winning games. But, I mean, it's not completely and utterly egregious.
See, the problem is, like, you can't even get away with the developing young players because, one, you ain't got no developing players because you traded them all.
Yes.
Like that's the thing is, like, for me, and I know you don't want to, like, throw Carson Wentz out to the friggin' Wolves, but, I mean, wouldn't you feel better if he just did a trial by fire? Like, wouldn't you feel like you were progressing? Like, it feels like...
If you threw Carson Wentz out to the Wolves?
Yeah.
If you just play... Sure.
I mean, it doesn't do him any good because he's probably going to get killed.
Yeah, but so he's like, he's going to get killed. I mean, fine.
It just seems like I don't want to bring the S team up, but like that's what the 2014 draft means for Sixers fans. You got nothing. We have seen nothing, no output from the 2014 draft. Nothing.
July. Vegas. He's coming, ladies and gentlemen.
Who, Dario?
Dario coming. I guess he's coming to some league. I don't know. I hope so. Please, fingers crossed. He's texting with Brett Brown, so apparently the two of them are still
playing. Yeah, it just – I don't know. Like, I still believe that, like, I mean, I'd rather – to be honest, I'd rather stay at eight. Just, like, build a team and if – but once again, I always say, if it's that freaking hard to get a franchise quarterback, don't you just build all the other stuff and then at some point you might get lucky and get this guy?
Yes.
That's how I feel.
Yes, I agree.
Because once again – I'm saying finding drafting a franchise quarterback is so freaking hard.
Yeah, so hard.
Maybe I want to go the way the Cardinals got one. Maybe you find like don't no. I just
the Saints, the Cardinals.
I would rather, or maybe what the Eagles thought they were doing.
Because it's hard to get like unless you draft high. The only way to do it is to get somebody.
That's exactly what I'm saying. It's like I keep saying with the NBA championship. If it's so damn hard and it's so freaking impossible, why are we going? Like, why are we having this discussion right now?
Which is why the Eagles should have got Robert Griffin III. There you go. It all comes back to RG3. All right, we are out of here. Thank you,
everyone.
Jimmy Kemsky, for joining us. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the show. Mr. Domingo, snappy close.
Bang, bang.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah.